what's the purpose of our lives? And it's going to be looking, Yahweh chooses his stewards, and the emphasis is going to be really on shepherds at the end. But stewards, what is a steward? I like to think with my house here, that mom or dad said once, whose house is that? And I said, that's Yahweh's house. I'm the steward. And I hope I keep it that way. Yeah. It's mine. Really? You ever had that as a kid? What did you say? Mine? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But it's going to be Yahweh chooses his stewards and his shepherds. And he's going to contend to. You know, every once in a while, it's going to look like we're getting away with something. You're not. Yeah. Nobody's ever gotten away with anything. We all have a court date. Let's see. And when I do say the court dates, let me see here. You pause it for a second. My slideshow's not working. So when I say you have a court date, it's not meant that we're still saved. There's going to be a count. What did you do? Would you do it? And it's a neat thing with my son, with him saving money or anything. Hey, would you do it? And it can be really exciting, right? Hey, would you do it? Unless you do something bad. Oh, I want to see it. Luke chapter 19:11 through 26. We're going to look at a worthy with little, worthy with much. Luke 19:11. And if somebody, a good reader, a strong reader, wouldn't mind reading that for me, I appreciate it. So here you read two easy parables. If you want to teach somebody or if you're going to convert somebody, besides the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's not just that. There's a neat Christian rock song that I have on my Pandora. He goes, it's not just a courtesy call. Is part of the lyrics. Becoming a Christian is not just a courtesy call. I'll take one. It's about a commitment. You're like, oh, I'll go. Yeah, okay. No, it's about a job. You want a job. I don't want a job. And so there, this rock song comes. It's not just a courtesy call. And then he goes into this. But Luke 19:11, Mom, would you read? Before we go there, I heard it once said that this life is an audition. It's just an audition.
That's neat.
That's it. What do you got? I'm not ready. Okay, go get ready. And so if Christ is coming back, when's he coming back? What are we going to be doing there? Forever. 11 through 26.
And because they were hearing these things, he added, and spake a parable because of his being near Jerusalem, and their supposing instantly was the kingdom of God to shine forth. He said, therefore, a certain man of noble birth went into a country far away to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And calling 10 servants of his own, he gave unto them 10 minas and said unto them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent off an embassy after him, saying, we desire not this man to be made king over us. And it came to pass when he returned, having received the kingdom, that he bade be called unto him the servants. Though these servants to whom he had given the silver, that he might take note what business they had done. And the first one came here saying, Lord, thy minas hath made 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because in a very small thing thou hast been faithful. Have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second one came saying, thy mina, Lord, hath made 5 minas. And he said to him also, and thou be over 5 cities. And the other came saying, Lord, lo, thy mina, which I kept lying by in a napkin, for I was afraid of thee, because a harsh man thou art. Thou takest up what thou layest not down, and reapest what thou sowest not. He said to him, out of thy mouth do I judge thee, O wicked servant. Thou knowest that I, a harsh man, am, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore then didst thou not place my silver upon a money changer's table, and I, when I came with interest, might have exacted it? And unto the bystanders he said, take from him the mina, and give unto him that hath the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he hath 10.
He's got 10. Him? He's already got 10. Okay, my dad pointed out once, I never noticed it. You're going to give it to him? Okay.
I tell you, unto everyone that hath shall be given. Whereas from him that hath not, even what he hath shall be taken away.
And when I say that jokingly, that's going to be me. There's going to be things in my life that I'll be like, he's going to get 10? I go, where are your rewards, Aaron? And I got some areas I'm really working on, other areas that I haven't. But all of this is going to be, and what happens here is the stewardship. Yahweh replaces the steward. You're fired. You're hired. And this is actually, I'm learning Donald Trump, like it's almost like a biography. There's a lot of things that I wish he would have done differently with some of the fellowship, but he works his butt off negotiating everything else. If anybody's watching, Yahweh was watching this guy Donald Trump just like he was watching Joseph. Oh, I got lots of positions for a guy like this. Is he lazy? No. Nobody will negotiate with my money better than Donald Trump. Good. He needs to be a billionaire. You know, it could be that's not the teaching, but the thing is, the thing through this whole book is not about heaven. It's about Yahweh and his son getting us back to the Garden of Eden to be the new heaven and earth. Book of Revelation here. But through here is all about the job descriptions. The job descriptions. And if you don't do your job, you're going to get fired or replaced. You'll suffer some loss. But all this heaven, not a waiting tables. How many times do you get stiffed? It's going to happen. You go, okay, every once in a while, you're not going to get paid. Is it the end of the world? No. Especially with Yahweh, when you're waiting at tables, you know somebody else can compensate it. And every once in a while, we blow it. I blow it all the time in the business. Then I go back into my car. My parents taught me this way. I go, next time, I'm gonna get it. I'll be ready next time. And who's a better tipper than Yahweh? If we're talking about waiting tables, he'll give you another shot if you repent. You gotta admit fault, this guy, at least in this thing, and I'm guilty of this guy. I know how tough you are, and you are always hard on me. whatever. And so whenever we do that, and our old man does that with us, you just say, tell it to the judge. Save it for the judge. And tell your flesh that, because we're gonna see the judge someday. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. So here's a stewardship. What did you do with what I gave you? Now here's a different parable, Matthew chapter 21. And so this is going to be the theme. Also, we'll go into... Oh, I forgot to... You guys go ahead and turn there. Some things I forgot to point out in Luke 19. Let me know when you guys are there. In the parable... I guess I can go back. It's not there. So when the landlord returns, I like that. When the landlord returns, the poor steward was not focusing on when the landlord returns. But here's a neat thing, and I've been there. I've been busted. Mom and dad trusted me at times as a teenager. Verse 13, Luke 19. Well, we're going to go to Matthew in a second. And calling the 10 servants of his own, he gave unto them 10 minutes and said unto them, what was his orders? Do business till I come. Work!
Yeah.
Work! The guy didn't work. What's the purpose of this life? Work! And Luke 19:13 is just like Genesis 2:15. What's the purpose of the creation of man? Work! Get to work!
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, you're created. Well, why am I going to work? You're creating Yahweh's image. Yahweh, nobody outworks him. Yahweh took a day off. You are at work. You're in my image. And I can see it with the adversary picking on Adam and Eve. You can't see Yahweh. That it takes faith. Hey, I'm doing all the work here. You might feel like that. No. He sees everything. And he gives us these parables to help us keep us in check. If somebody read 33 through 43 of Matthew.
I will.
Thank you.
The fruits of the vineyard demanded. Another parable hear ye. A man there was, a householder, who planted a vineyard, and a wall around it placed, and digged in it a wine vat, and built a tower, and let it out to the husbandmen, and left home. And when the season of fruit drew near, he sent forth his servants unto the husbandmen to receive his fruits. And the husbandmen, taking his servants, one indeed they beat, and another slew, and another stoned. Again, sending forth other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Afterwards, however, he went forth unto them his son saying, he said forth unto his son saying, they will pay deference unto my son. But the husbandmen, seeing the son, said among themselves, this is the heir. Come on, let us slay him and have his inheritance. When taking him, they cast him forth outside the vineyard and slew him. When therefore the master of the vineyard shall come, what will he do unto these husbandmen? They said unto him, miserable man, miserably will he destroy them, and will let out the vineyard to other husbandmen, who will render unto him the fruits and their seasons. Yahushua said unto them, have you never read in the scriptures, a stone which the builder rejected, the same hath become head of the corner? From Yahweh hath this come to pass, and is marvelous in our eyes. Wherefore I say unto you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken away from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof.
Fruit.
Yeah.
To bear fruit. All of our lives is to work and to bear fruit. And this analogy right here, they killed his son, they beat his servants, what's going to happen to him? Are you kidding me? Right? That's really clear. This is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Who owns all this land? And I'm going to get ahead of myself. Yahweh owns the whole earth. And what do they do? Not coming in here. This is the story of the book of Judges. Before you're going to the book of Judges, when they're getting ready to exterminate the Canaanites, Rotherham has a whole explanation on it, but I think he doesn't need necessarily go into the explanations. The Canaanites were wicked. The landlord says, convert or get out. We're not going anywhere. Then you die. The Gibeonites repented, right?
Right.
We want in. Rahab says, I want in, right? Mm-hmm. And even Rahab, Jericho, they had 7 days to think about it.
Yeah.
Do you really want to fight this God?
Yeah.
The God that destroyed Egypt, you're going to fight him. And they thought about it. That's it. The landlord says, you got to go. And I think about that with a farmer who has a barn, and now he got so many vermin in there, he can't even go in there. They start attacking him. I want to burn down the barn. You know, I build another one. And so here's Yahweh. Who are we? But this is the same thing with the United States. You talk about Indians and stuff like that. Well, who are we? Who was here first? Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Yahweh was here first. And who did he put here in the Americas in the first place? With the scattering, they would have been worshippers of Yahweh. They fell away. It's his. He can do anything he wants with it. Can you? And we go back to that parable. And it's the same. It's the parable. All that belongs to Yahweh. He's watching us. He gave us parables to go. He's watching us. I love that with Nebuchadnezzar, because there's the watchers watching them. I like to think about people walk around, invisible people with clipboards with us. Failed that one, Aaron. Oh, give me another shot. Failed that one. And you think about this, with Jesus Christ talking about a stumbling block. What is arguably easier, washing your hands or paying taxes? Mm. What's easier?
Washing hands.
How old's Ruth?
5.
Because she paid taxes. Can she wash her hands?
Yes.
Yes. Can a 4-year-old, 3-year-old wash their hands? Yes. Paying taxes?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So where am I going with it, right? Okay. Yeah. So what's easier, washing your hands or paying taxes? Jesus Christ, when it came to paying taxes, he goes, least we make those people at the temple tax stumble, pay the tax. But washing with hands, he picked a fight to make them stumble too. It's just interesting. There were times that Christ picked a fight. Because he could have said, go wash your hands. How easy is that? Is it easy to go wash your hands? Yeah. Don't make them stumble. But the Pharisees and the scribes, you guys are going to trip. Well, who the heck is he? He's the heir. He's the son of the landlord. You better get your mind right. So here, the inheritance of Canaan being wiped out, Sodom and Gomorrah being wiped out. But those two parables really sum up most of that stuff. Going to go, who is the creator? And before we start getting into philosophical, what's the purpose of your life? And before you meet Yahweh and Christ, what are you going to say? You did. And so the neat thing about that is, and I'll get there with Adam and Eve here in a second too, it wasn't just don't eat the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. A lot of Christians think if we're not sinning, we're all right. What fruit are you bearing? It's supposed to bear fruit too. In Genesis 2:15, get to work. So not sinning, good. But that's a baby. Got to get to work, get to work. Why? Because you're building a resume for the resurrection. What's your job going to be? What are you going to be doing? And that's the good stewardship. Psalms 24:1, It says the earth and all that is all that is in it belongs to Yahweh. Your money, your cars, your resources, your IRAs, everything belongs to Him. Oh yeah, yeah. You're gonna say, okay. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says what? Would you recite it?
Okay. Let me stay here. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died, and in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke.
Amen. So the Lamb belongs to Yahweh, and your life belongs to who? Yahweh and Christ.
Christ, yeah.
To produce fruit. The heartbeat in your chest is not yours. The breath in your lungs is not yours. We're just stewards of somebody else's resources. You are made of dust that does not belong to you. Tick tock. What are you going to do with your life? And it's about thoughts. What are you going to do? And so all of us have a debt to pay each day. What are we doing? And are we paying our debts? And not just with not sinning, but producing things. What are we going to be doing? Tim and Deborah, I have no problem working. But you guys got the work department down. Really, I mean, I'm going to talk about people working. I used to think that the paradise is going to be retirement and not having to do anything. No, we're created to work. Why we were created in Yahweh's image. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. When Yahweh first checked in on his steward, the first illustrator was Adam. And Don Francisco, Adam, where are you? Yahweh knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. Where's your heart? I entrusted you with this, my garden of delights. You inherited all my real estate. And I came back, and what did you do? They broke his heart. Genesis 2:15, I already went there, but it says that the purpose of Adam and Eve was to till and keep the earth. God just don't send work. Luke 19:13 was also, I shared that, but do business till I come. So we go, what position are you working for? We should be asking ourselves, what are we going to be doing? Yahweh got to do something like that recently, not too long ago with me. I can't take credit for it. You ever say something that sounds brilliant? But then you're like, I can't take credit for it. There must have been Yahweh inside of me came out because a new prospect that was going to possibly invest a lot of money, and a thought just came out of nowhere. Hey, Aaron, if this money came through, and I didn't know I was being communicated with Yahweh. If he invested the money, what would you do it? And it came out, I'd double it. And then after those words came out, I think Yahweh's priming the pump. This is what I want to hear. I went, of course. Why would you give me more? I'm going to double your money. And guess what? And I wasn't thinking that way, but this was reading scriptures, being in fellowship, praying, speaking in tongues, that he was able to communicate that to me. And all of a sudden, of course, I don't just need a money market account or a checking account with Yahweh's money in it. I need to double his money. And so I open up an account for him. Here's your account. Do whatever you want with it. Now, if you own a business, would that bless you?
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, if I did this, I'd double your money. And then I'm like, well, how do I double it? I have some ideas. Let me run them by you, boss. But what is the resume? What are you going to be doing? Waiting tables in paradise, maybe. Maybe you have your own diner. I don't know. When is Christ coming? Because when he popped in on Adam and Eve, they were not ready for it, were they? And so it's a neat thing that there's a thing in sports that says if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. I guess you'd say some of that with the military too. We sweat on the ground so we don't have to bleed. But it's the same thing with Yahweh. You're going to go, okay, when is he going to come walking in? I don't know. I had the one time my yard was, I hadn't finished the sprinkler system. I had pipes sticking out of the yard for like 4 or 5 months. I was listening to Word of Promise, and I talked about Yahweh walking in on Abraham and Sarah. I went, if you walked into my house, it's a dump. I was like, I gotta start thinking differently. So how's your resume looking? How's my resume looking? I don't know. Now, I think, like with a lot of different things in our lives, that once we start those conversations, Yahweh will start showing you, here's what I would like you to do. Or here's where you're going to go, or I'll be real realistic, Aaron. You're not a very good steward in this area. You need to work on this. You got it. And now we're going to look at different shepherds. So with Adam and Eve, here's the consequences when the landlord came in. You know, that which you sow, you'll reap. Yeah. First Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. I'm talking kind of fast because I don't want to run out of time. I guess we could turn First Samuel 13. Now turn to like shepherds, which is really what I want to be talking about with this teaching. And shepherds, what is a shepherd? A shepherd's going to be a pastor. They could be a parent. These are kids.
13.
14.
And what's going to happen with 13, verse 14? Yahweh is going to be walking in the cool of the day with King Saul here in a second through Samuel. Samuel, what are you doing? And somebody would read, let me see here. 13 and 14 together, please.
Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast shown thyself foolish. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Yahweh, thy Elohim, which he commanded thee. For now would Yahweh have established thy kingdom unto Israel, unto time's age abiding. Whereas now shall thy kingdom not be established. Yahweh has sought out for a man after his own heart, and Yahweh hath commanded him to be leader over his people.
So we can see right there, what was Yahweh's intention with King Shaul?
Man after his own heart.
Well, before he fell, though, Saul, Yahweh would have established that kingdom unto Israel until time's age abiding. That would, so you had it, Saul. You blew it. What was Saul's job? He was a shepherd of Yahweh's sheep. And he gave the sheep what they wanted. And he blew it. So what is Yahweh looking for? He looks for you're not going to do what I tell you to do with my sheep. We're going to get another one. And so then Yahweh seeks out King David. And David has a really good start until we get to 2 Samuel chapter 12, 1 through 13. We won't read the whole thing. I was trying to tell my son he messed up. And this is something that I taught too. He goes, everybody makes a mistake, but something that's really unique about the great ones is what they do after they make a mistake. Do you blame people? I had to reprove somebody because they're being an idiot. There's no way around it. They're supposed to be a leader. They're not teaching the word. They're teaching panic. And they're saying there is no war going on right now. There's no spiritual war. Just lock yourself up with this COVID thing and everything's going to be fine. And I said, your master, the body of Christ, is under attack right now, and you're going to close your eyes and your ears? Well, no, the TV says this, and they're doing this, and I go, you're going to be held accountable. You should not be a teacher, because you're going to be a higher judgment. So I started going through all these things, but this was a shepherd that didn't want to engage. And so, but what they ended up doing with me, kill the messenger. You jerk! You're always in. And I've done the same thing too. And what happened with Samuel? Shaul wanted to be honored before the people. Honored before the people that here with King David. I guess we won't read the whole thing. David messes up. He messed up big time. He murders Bathsheba's husband after he commits adultery. Other people die. He brings in Joab, his cousin. He's in on the dirt. And it's not just that. This is organized crime. This is like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. How many people are involved now? Who are the messengers that told David that Uriah didn't go to sleep? Man, this is like the deep state. What happened here? But the neat thing is, in the verse, I think it was 13. Verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And it is my own... I believe that David was ready to fall on his own sword. David, King Saul, when he was going to die, instead of being abused, what did he do? He tried to fall on his own sword to kill himself. I believe David was ready to die right here. Why? The wages of sin is death. I mean, you murder somebody. And actually, as I was reading this, or I got to hear this recently, I can imagine him putting a noose around his neck. Kill me. I deserve it. And that's why he was forgiven. He did a 180. Go, I'm the guy. But what happened with that is that, boy, he not just dodged a bullet, but that was Yahweh's heart. And that's with all of us. We can do a 180 with our stewardship. Pastors, too. Zedekiah, turn to Jeremiah 34. This page 755. But here's Samuel goes to David. Can you imagine Samuel, if you were him? Remember when Shaul rejected Yahweh? Have you ever had somebody reject you for the word, righteousness, or loved ones? They don't want to hear about it. Again, it hurts. Samuel is pining, and Yahweh says, knock it off. I found somebody else. Okay. How do you think that would have felt with David, though? Well, I guess that would have been Nathan. It was Nathan. It wasn't Samuel. But here's Nathan going to go, God, David? David, of all people? But he did. And he did a 180. But if he would have been confronted, would have never done it. And that's happened with all of us in here. We've been Nathans. We've been Samuels. And we've confronted people and said, look, you're not getting away with it. Do a 180. Repent. Repent. But more important, what about the landlord that's watching us? I was talking to my son, Gavin, and we were talking about something and something, because why don't I have any sins or something like this, of course. And I go, Gavin, everything you do is on a big screen. You understand that, right? He went, and I go, it is. Nobody's ever gotten away with anything. And then we talked about little kids, you know, hiding, and they think you can't see them. They go behind a couch or something. Then you said, Izzy, you should go poop behind the couch or something. Go to squat. You can't see me over here. Jeremiah 34, 8 through 13. But, you know, we laugh at little kids. We laugh at dogs. Laugh at animals. But then I got to go, man. The dog going back to a vomit. I've been there. I've seen animals do ridiculous, disgusting things. I'm like, Father, I thank you that when we forgive, when we ask for forgiveness, we repent. It doesn't exist anymore. If our brain brings it up again, then it didn't happen. It's done. If we've repented, but here is Yahweh is going to with the, it, it really neat. Well, I'm going to try to stay on target here. Yahweh is going to. I need to talk to my shepherd Zedekiah. Where is Zedekiah? Zedekiah is the last king of Judah. People have been carried away with Judah. I think in our last teaching I said David was carried away with Israel. I was wrong. David was from Judah. And so I was like, okay, I just did a teaching on it. No, David was a Judean. Okay, so it would have been, so I'm not sure when. But Israel had already been carried away. And I was reading a commentary, and then you know what the commentary was explaining? Yahweh gets to choose his shepherds. If the kings aren't going to do their job, he's going to get somebody else. And the kings of Israel are so wicked that Yahweh chose the Assyrians to come tearing away. I will get somebody to do my job. You think you're the only option, Aaron Cunningham, that Yahweh has? Really? Aaron? And then Donald Trump was doing a teaching, and he was just talking about, he was talking about opportunities. And he said, here's LeBron James, here's a basketball player who's in great shape, he's got all these things, but he goes, you'd be a fool to think he's the only person on the planet with those abilities. Now he's honed them. But he goes, there's a lot of people. They just didn't have the opportunity. They never developed them. But he was talking about that with Michelangelo, Leonardo. There have been a lot of geniuses. They never did anything with it. But that's with us. You don't think Yahweh can replace you? Just like that. But here's Zedekiah in chapter 8. Mom, would you read 8 through 13?
The word which came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh after that King Zedekiah had solemnized a covenant with all the people who were in Jerusalem, proclaiming unto them liberty. That every man should let his servant and every man his handmaid, being a Hebrew or a Hebrewess, go free, so that no man should use them as slaves, to wit, a Jew his brother. So then they hearkened, even all the princes and all the people who had entered into the covenant, that every man should let his servant and every man his handmaid go free, so as not to use them as slaves any longer. Yea, they hearkened and let them go. Howbeit, they turned after that and brought back the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free and brought them into subjection as servants and as handmaids. So then the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, thus saith Yahweh, God of Jerusalem, I myself solemnized a covenant with your fathers in the day when I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of slaves, saying...
We'll pause there just for a second. You do not want to be compared with Egypt. You're going to go, Yahweh uses Egypt as a comparison. It's like, it is all throughout the word, Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. What did Egypt do? Let my people go, Pharaoh. No! Let them go! No! And you're like, okay, do you really want to be like Egypt? So now Yahweh's going to say... you're going to learn a lesson just like Egypt. Because what did they do? They did a partial. Have you ever done that? I was listening with mom and dad or something. It was about doing half of the job you get called to do and you don't finish it. Because you kind of get there. Or maybe I was reading about that. It was maybe the Israelites in the land of Canaan. They just didn't quite finish it. They got started with it. And in this case, this is my own speculation. So the Hebrew Jews were different than our African slaves here, or the Hebrew slaves. What I could think of, why would you sell yourself into slavery? I don't. Well, let's just say you make $20,000 a year. 6 years, how much is that? It's $120,000 debt. And this would possibly, you could sell yourself to pay off $120,000 debt. Maybe, does that kind of make sense? That's what it's worth. Well, why would anybody go into slavery for longer than 6 years? Well, it could have been involuntary, be the easiest note. But without Yahweh's law, if you're not doing Yahweh's law, I'd say, hey, I'll be a $200,000 slave. Well, how are you going to do that? You only produce a $20,000. Well, I'll just do it for 10 years. Yeah, possibly. So it's just a thought. But Yahweh's going to say in verse 14, at the end of 7 years shall ye let go every man his brother, being a Hebrew, who shall sell himself unto thee and serve thee 6 years. Then shalt thou let him go free from thee. So why do they go back and get their slaves again? I don't know. And so in my speculation is just trying to get some sort of reasoning. It wasn't like you owned somebody forever. It was 6 years. And how did that work? At least business. Maybe it was $120,000 debt. But they went back and they got their slaves. Who else went back after the slave that they let him go? Pharaoh. Didn't work out so well, did it?
Yeah.
I can't afford this. We can't afford this. That's too much money. We can't do this. I can't be obedient. Because there's too much money involved. We're not going to be able to pay the bills. And so what did they do? They went back after their slaves. And if you want to read what happens next, because you know what? It didn't have to be that bad with Zedekiah. Does anybody know why Zedekiah rebelled? My dad does. Okay. Why did Zedekiah rebel?
Well, one of the reasons, because of the princes.
Okay. He feared the people. Zedekiah, he's going back to Jeremiah. He's a work in progress. Oh, by the way, I did not know this until Dad recently said this. The book of Jeremiah is not chronological. How did I not know that? I've read through Jeremiah before. It goes from this king back to this king. I'm reading about Zedekiah. You keep reading one more chapter, and he's going to go back to Jehoiachin. That's like a king way back over here. I'm so embarrassed. I never noticed that until you pointed it out. Okay, but anyways. But Zedekiah is going, is there any word from Yahweh? Yahweh goes, you better let him go, but the prince is going to kill me. No, the princes aren't going to kill you. But here's the whole thing. Why did this shepherd fail, at least with this illustration? He was afraid of the people. He couldn't do it. And so what happens next? And I think about it, they couldn't afford it. There's probably bills or something like that. And I'm trying to think of illustrations of why people couldn't afford to be obedient with something like slavery. If that was the justification. Africans here in the United States are owned as slaves. They could have been Christians owned by other Christians. Why would you get rid of them? Why would we have to go to war about that? Probably couldn't afford it. One that's a little closer to home, specifically with pastors and churches, is court-ordered child support. I had to explain this to some Africans. They couldn't believe it. So you can lawfully enslave somebody for 18 years by having a child with them, and a bonus would be the more money they make, the more you can enslave them for. Now I doubt anybody's ever explained it to them that way. We go, oh yeah, this is the system. There's lawyers that will teach you how to do it this way. Christy did it, a cousin of ours. The more wealthy they are, the more money you had to pay. Ooh, and then you see it where somebody gets addicted to, not addicted, but now I can't afford to give it up. But what's going to happen here with Zedekiah, it didn't have to be so bad for Zedekiah. Does anybody know what happens to Zedekiah?
Eyes put out.
I watched his sons get killed.
Yeah. Speak up so they didn't hear you.
Yeah, so they knew.
What? So we'll say it.
So, okay, we'll go to verse 21 first. So Yahweh tells him, you want to fight with the owner of the vineyard? What did you do to Jeremiah? Because when they do that to Jeremiah, who are they really trying to do it to? Yahweh. Really? You think you're going to get away with this? And it's back to that parable. And in verse 21, Zedekiah, king of Judah, also, with his who?
Princes.
These are the people he couldn't obey because the prince is going to kill him. Yahweh goes, all of you are in one boat. I told you it didn't affect you. Do it afraid, Zedekiah. And these princes will I give into the land their enemies, and into the hand of them who are seeking their life, even into the hand of the force of the king of Babylon. Who's the new shepherd? The king of Babylon. Yahweh goes, you think you're my only option? It might not be a Judean, but it was like Dad did a teaching on unorthodox ways, and you might not be playing A, B, C, or D, but Judah, here's Tamara, and everybody's going to learn about you, Judah. Oh, no, you were playing K. They got Perez, but Yahweh's going to get his way. Behold me, verse 22, of Babylon, who has gone up from me, behold me, given command, declares Yahweh, I will bring them back into the city, and they will fight, and the city's going to be destroyed. But we get to see Yahweh has found another shepherd. And so we look at what are we being entrusted to? What are we supposed to be good stewards with? Then are we being a good steward? I think with parents. I don't know how you can deal with kids. But what if Yahweh told you not to do something? Well, I got for 18 years. I was thinking this, trying to read, and I go, you don't think you can get SRS or the kid run away? You really think you're going to keep this kid by giving what they want? Aaron, you think you're going to get to keep your son by destroying him, by breaking the law, the covenant? Well, let me put it that way. Just give them what they want, right? And he's going to say, I'll show you how to keep the kids. And maybe if you can't keep the kids, I'll show you how to keep your job. Because what if the kids rebel you? Did you do your job? I did do my job. Good, you passed that test. What if it's a spouse? Did you do your job? No. Okay, repent. Go back and do your job. Going on a little digression here for a second. Rotherham reveals another gem. You would not see this in any other translation. I think it's really going to bless most of you guys. Jeremiah 39:13. Can you guys read? This is the King James Version. And Hannah, you have the which version?
I have ESV.
Yeah, are you? If you can get there quickly, you can read off your.
Okay.
But would some? Are you guys all there?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if there's anything interesting besides the complicated names that I'm getting ready to read.
In what? In that verse or in chapter 39 or what?
This is the King James. Don't look. Don't look at the Rotherham. Rats. Don't look at Rotherham. This is. I'm going to show you something that Rotherham just revealed to me. Actually, Yahweh did recently. I went, what? What? Here is the King James. So, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuchadnezzar, Rabshakeh, and Nergal-Sharaz, Rabmag, and the king of the Babylonian princes. Is there anything interesting about that?
Mine says, and all the chief officers of the king of Babylon.
Okay. So what? Right? Next verse. And that's usually how I would read those big names. I need to start saying their names. And if you read almost any other Bible translation, that's what it's going to say. You're going to skip right through this. And the purpose of this, we're going to Jeremiah 39. This is going to be back to Zedekiah. Check this out. Now, would somebody read the Rotherham?
Verse 13?
Yes.
So Nebuzaradan, chief of the royal executioners, sent. Also, Nebuchadnezzar, chief of the eunuchs, and Nergal-Sharazar, chief of the magi.
Chief of the what?
Magi.
Okay.
And all the chiefs of the kingdom of Babylon.
What was that word, magi?
Yeah.
Is that an interesting word? Is anybody else who has heard the word magi before?
No,
raise your hand.
Yeah.
Isaiah, really? No. Okay, family meeting. I'm just kidding.
The
magi.
Wise man.
What's a magi? Have you heard it before?
Yeah.
It's a wise. We've heard this before, but just because Rotherham says it doesn't mean Rotherham's right. So what I do when I'm reading my devotional?
Ding.
So here's a King James. Here's Rabmag. I can say that one.
four and
Strong's number 7248. It's the same word as magi. Magi. What is the magi?
A magician.
Not just a magician.
It's a star reader. Fortune teller.
Now we're going to go back and read. Now this is gonna be this is the best part of the whole teaching right here. If you guys don't get anything out of it, I think this is gonna be the part. 39:11, and in 39:11, the Rotheram, we're gonna get to read the name at least right here. Who is the new shepherd? Who's got the job?
Nebuchadnezzar.
And we're gonna get to read some other interesting things. Without the Rotheram, you have no idea why the other people didn't translate the word. Rotheram did. Rotheram was faithful. He was a good steward. Okay, somebody read 11.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave command concerning Jeremiah through Nebuchadnezzar, chief of the royal executioners, saying, take him and thine eyes set thou upon him, and do not unto him any harmful thing, but just as he shall speak unto thee, so shalt thou do with him.
Okay, so the new verse 13, so we're going to read 13. So the new shepherd's name is Nebuchadnezzar. The new shepherd, what's the first thing he does? Go get Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Be nice to him and do whatever he tells you. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Here's the new shepherd. You want to know why Nebuchadnezzar got the job?
Because he was a...
Here's the important part. Verse 13, so Nebuzaradan, chief of the royal executioner, sent also Shuzan, chief of the eunuchs, and Nergal-Shazzar, chief of the magi. Remember this guy. Mm-hmm. And all the chiefs of the king of Babylon, yea, they sent and fetched the Jeremiah out of the guard court and delivered him unto Gilgal, the son of
Jedaliah,
and bring him. Is this the first time Yahweh is going to save one of his servants through the hands of a magi?
No.
He's going to save his servants through the hands of a magi someplace else too.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to happen, the adversary is going to not just try to kill the child, the adversary is going to try to kill Joseph and Mary and all, wipe them all out. And so this is the first instance of the magi, Yahweh rescuing his servants with the hands of magi. I never knew that.
No.
I never saw it. And thanks to Rotheram. And why is Rotheram so different? He translated a Bible because he wants that final judgment, going, hey, I want a really good job. I want to be a scribe at the resurrection.
Amen.
I want to tell people what you said, not what they want to hear. And for the most part, he's not perfect, but man, he is close. So we already read that. So Nebuchadnezzar, the shepherd, saves Yahweh's servants through the hands of the magi. I'll show it here, Matthew 2, so here's going to be the wise men. I tried to even look this up with Google, and they said the three wise men. I go, you're going to teach me about an ancient Babylonian word, and you're saying there's three wise men. Mm-hmm. You don't know squat. There weren't three wise men. We don't know how many there were.
Yeah.
There was three gifts. And then I'm looking at these guys going, like, well, I'm going to believe any of the three wise men. No, it's magi. And I heard somebody said with the gifts that the magi were bringing, it was probably a convoy. It would have been an easy target with three of them. But anyways, but here's the word in Matthew chapter 2. The wise man is going to be here. Now, this is going to be a different word, but it's going to be the name given by the Babylonian Chaldeans, the Medes, the Persians. And so these guys would have been Hebrews also. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, I'll stay on target. So thank you, Rotheram. Now back to the story. The purpose of our lives is to work. What's the purpose of life? It is to work. For who? And then you can go back to the parable. The boss is coming back. Well, I didn't sin. Okay, did you produce anything? Because the guy who didn't produce something was called wicked.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, all right. And building a resume for the next life. Exodus chapter 32, we don't have to go there. But here's another example, not to pick on Aaron and Zedekiah. I've been there too. I've failed. I'm single. It's amazing. If I go out on a date, how quickly I'll compromise and start talking differently. Because I want somebody to accept me. I'm single. Well, then you fill in your own blanks. Everybody's got a little area they got to work on. They're more likely to compromise. And that area, I don't want to be like Aaron in that case. Now, Aaron finished well. But in Exodus chapter 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make for us Elohim, so shall we go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what hath befallen him. Then Aaron said unto them, Break off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people in themselves break off the rings of gold that were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received the gold in their hand, and fashioned it with their graven tools, and made it into molten calf. And they said, These are the gods of Israel, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And Aaron saw it, and he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, This is God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, three in one. It's the same God. Now we have three gods. This is all Yahweh. No, we don't have three gods. It's one. God the Son, not once in the Bible. God the Holy Spirit, not once in the Bible. What did Aaron do when he was confronted about I'm Yahweh, thy Elohim, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, no other Elohim? Well, there's not any other gods. It's the same thing. Aaron did the same thing. And the purpose is for pastors and leaders, I'm teaching. I'm going to be held a higher accountability. It's James 3. Mm-hmm. If we don't warn somebody, you better get your teaching right. Because that's not going to make it through the audit. You talk to a pastor and they're going to say, Well, this is the way things were always taught. Well, what did they tell Zedekiah? What did they tell Manasseh? You're going to go, it doesn't matter. What did the scriptures say? And so we're going to say, Aaron fails like Zedekiah. Now, Aaron drops to his knees and he does a 180 just like David did. And he blew it. But for all of us, what are you teaching? Here's pastors. And I think a lot of times with pastors, you talk to pastors and you go, Are you shepherding your church? Are you doing 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7? Are you calling out Democrats? No, we're not going to say anything about the Democrats. You're not supposed to be eating with them. The persecutors. And say, but not to pick on the pastor, but say if you love somebody, you're going to say, You got a court date. And you're going to be judged higher than us. Is that going to finish the audit? Because when Nebuchadnezzar comes knocking, pastor, what are you going to tell him? And you're going to say, Okay, what are you going to do? So I don't necessarily know what you need to do. I won't be there when you kneel before Jesus Christ. But all of us are going to have those things. But especially pastors, if there's anybody we should be warning. Because Matthew 15 says, For the sake of your traditions, you transgress the commandments of Yahweh. And you're going to, Okay. But that'd be the same thing with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Divorces should not be outside the church. You get married in the church, you get divorced in the church. You don't go to the unbeliever. Ooh, nobody's going to want... Actually, a girl who's going through a divorce reached out to me. I think she was flirting with me. She's going to a counselor. And I said, Here's a little warning. You want to know about counselors? She says, What? I go, You're going to trust your marriage with this counselor. Yes. Ask him if he knows about the rules of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If he or she does not know the rules of divorce of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you make a note. They don't know anything about divorce or the rules, and they're the ones advising you. And she went, What are you talking about? I said, Would you go to court with somebody that doesn't know the law? And she said, No. And I go, If your counselor doesn't know, she goes, What does 1 Corinthians chapter 7 say? I said, You better read it. And so what did she do? She read it. She said, That's scary. That was her response. And I go, It's not me you have to appease. But Yahweh said 5, 6, and 7. Are you going to do it or not? But her response was, That was scary. At least she read it. But what a good... that wasn't the end of the show. But no. There's the end of it. So with the churches and stuff, when they do it, they don't do it, you have your reward. That's fine. You'll be saved. We're not supposed to strive. But the thing is, we're supposed to be helping people. And then, but you could help a pastor or something. You say, I love this back here. Lord, he hath 10 minutes. So he could be a righteous guy. He's not committing adultery. But he's just not saying anything, or he's not producing fruit. It could be a pastor that speaks in tongues, but he won't tell people to speak in tongues. And he's going to say, Do you think Yahweh is going to be fooled If you're not teaching what he told you to teach in this life, do you think you're going to get a mega church at the resurrection?
No.
Worthy of little, worthy of much, and they could come up with this and go, but does that fit the parables? You're going to have to be a good steward. I'll end it there. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for today, and we thank you for these words. Do not be fearful about obedience. Be fearful about disobedience. For there is wrath and there is reaping of bad things if people don't turn around. Do not fear if people hate you or they mock you. Fear them reaping things that you didn't warn them about. Deliver people by the truth. And as you do so, I will reward you and I will carry your burdens. But there's many people out there you're not warning. But when you start warning them and doing your job, I will reward you and I will carry more of those burdens that you are asking me to carry. Amen.